way of knowing if I can be heard or not. Can I be heard?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I don't have any headphones. You're here.
Headphones? Why don't you have any headphones?
I have no headphones. Because I, because I'm retarded. I left them in my drawer. Now I'm just going to sit here and whistle to myself. Here's the thing about not having headphones.
You can't hear any of the music or anything, then, can
you? I can't hear anything. All I can hear is my own voice speaking. Can't hear any sounds. I can't. The thing about not having headphones when everybody else in the room does, people don't really realize this, that when you're in a radio studio, as soon as you turn on the microphone, the monitor's cut out, you know, the speaker's cut out, so you don't hear feedback. And so as a result, I'm just sitting here talking. There could be, I can't hear the Dream Theater music playing underneath. Thank you. Oh, Scotty Brum, thank you. There you go. Fantastic. All right, and there we are.
So much for that.
Oh,
Pete.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know what this is like? This is in like that, Bugs Bunny cartoon where Daffy Duck, in Duck Amuck, where Daffy Duck is wandering around and there's an unseen hand that keeps painting him into like a daisy and, you know what I'm talking about?
I didn't see that episode.
You know what? It's considered the greatest cartoon of all time, Duck Amuck, where Daffy Duck is wandering around. And there's like an unseen animator's hand that keeps changing the background and everything behind him. And they put him on all fours as a giant daisy. This probably just sounds like I'm having a drug flashback if you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm on
Well, you
on
better
board.
Speed it up. We have a guest in 7 minutes.
It's so true. It's 503-733-2970. Hello, it's 2 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of October in the year of our Lord. No, November. Is it November?
Yes, November 1st.
All right, November in the year of our Lord 2000.
Yesterday was Halloween.
Best show ever. 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Now, it was our original intention, some might say intentionality, to be at the studios of the new move in 107.5 today. That did not happen. That time has passed. We will be there tomorrow because Tom Likas is going to be in town. He'll be in studio with us tomorrow. And then Friday, he's going to be at Barracuda doing his show live from 3 to 7. Today, we were supposed to be there, and then there was a whole technical snafu and didn't come together. So, here we are in our regular studios today. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll welcome Mailman Chris in a second. We're kind of under the gun here at the beginning because, what is it? Is it 10 after, Scotty? Is that when it happens? Is it 11:10? Is that when we're expecting the call?
When the stars come out.
That's when. The best part this morning was, after we've been talking about this for like 4.5 weeks, Tim and I came in today. It's a very exciting program. Tim Conway is going to be on today. And then Sarah just sort of looks at us innocently and wide-eyed and says, who? It's Tim Conway. Who's that? So, and then we had to, and then she had
wasn't
to
Wasn't he on
it.
Taxi? No. Well, that was Jeff Conaway.
And then we ended up in this discussion with this Joshua Jackson guy that's going to be on from Dawson's Creek.
Who?
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah's like, you know, Tim Conway. He's like Joshua Jackson, but for you guys.
He's the Tim Conway of his generation.
Which is not really the case. I don't
you
really know.
You guys want to sleep with Tim Conway?
I was just going to say that I don't know that
no.
Tim and I view. I don't know that we view Tim Conway as a sex object. No disrespect to Tim Conway.
Well, I don't
the
know.
Ladies enjoy him at a certain age.
I think about.
How old is he?
What do you mean at a certain age?
He was born like in 1933.
I know my Tim Conway.
Any more Tim Conway?
You guys both have your IMDb sheet.
Well, I got my like Wikipedia.
Mine's in color.
Well, I think about that a lot, actually. I think about, we could do a list of people you can't possibly conceive others having sexual intercourse with. It's not just, okay, let's go around the room.
Barbara Walters.
So, see, I can totally see Barbara Walters having sex. Can't you?
No.
In fact, Barbara Walters, and I'm not trying to be wacky when I say
what
this.
What about Ruthie O'Donnell?
Hold on, we got to back up here. Well, I know she's had sex at least once. Didn't she have a kid? Or was that just where they just did?
I wasn't there.
Is that just... I was not in the room. Doesn't she? I thought she had a baby. I thought Rosie O'Donnell had a baby.
I think she has a few
wrong.
Kids.
Well, maybe she didn't have. Maybe her partner did, or maybe she adopted or something.
There are plenty of poor children out there.
I assumed that she'd had intercourse at least with an object of some kind. At least if not with a man.
A man.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go.
I don't think anybody wants to visualize that.
You're going to go around the room. People, you can't.
Rick, this is really what you want to do in the 4 minutes we have until we.
We just got to go. We got to go around once, and then we'll come back to this, and then we'll talk to Mailman Chris, then we'll talk to Tim Conway, not Jeff Conaway. People, you cannot possibly envision others having sex with. You say Barbara Walters. I say you're wrong. I am betting that when Barbara Walters was young, she was stunning. Maybe you can't picture her having sex now.
Well, yeah, I thought you were talking about now.
I totally can, though. I would imagine that there's some young buck, some enterprising young copy boy, somewhere deep in the bowels of her news organization that is trying to work his way to the top, and he figures the best way is to make sweet, sweet love to Barbara Walters. Yeah. Tim Riley, go.
Back when he was alive, Don Knotts.
that was exactly going to be mine. Don Knotts is always my go-to. And is it me, or does he kind of look like a real-life Mr. Peanut? You know what I mean? Like, he gave him a monocle and a shell. I guess if you gave anybody a shell, they'd look like Mr. Peanut. I guess the shell does most of the work there.
Yes, thank
Hello. It is the Rick Emerson radio program, so here's what's coming up. We do not view Tim Conway as a sexual object on the show. We respect him as an artist. I want that to be known up front. We're going to be talking to Tim Conway here in just a few minutes, actually, 2 or 3 minutes, because he's coming along with Harvey Korman. He's coming to the Schnitzer. We haven't been talking about this a lot in the recent weeks. We've been so caught up in this Likas thing. Likas is going to be in town tomorrow, and then he'll be live at Barracuda Friday. But then after that, baby, all is pure Conway after that. So he is going to be doing his farewell performance. They're doing a farewell tour. Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. And we're going to be presenting that. We'll be there doing the thing. Ha ha. So that's coming to that. Tickets are on sale now. We're going to be giving away tickets next week and the following week. But to that end, we're going to spend a few minutes with Tim Conway coming up here in like...
In an intimate setting.
The intimate setting being the phone here in a few. So we'll do that here in just a few minutes. Should we even bother to talk to Mailman Chris right now, or should I... Is this going to be another one of those things where we do the whole show for half an hour, and then we do the introduction again?
Well, we really don't have time.
I found out more about that song, Timothy, too.
Oh, really? The Timothy?
From Craig Adams, who's our local expert.
Craig Adams is one of those guys. Every radio station has a guy like Craig Adams, by the way, but it doesn't matter what it is. Any song on earth, he'll be able to tell you all about it.
It was released by Skiptor Records, says Craig, in the summer of 1970, and made the Billboard chart in January of 1971.
Speaking of yesterday and things we never got to, thank you, Craig. Did he slip in the history of any call letters while you were talking to him?
No, we've already been over that.
It's impossible to have a conversation, and people who work in radio, everybody who works in radio knows a guy or two like this. It is impossible to have any conversation with them in which they do not slip into the history of some set of call letters in Schenectady. Hi, Craig, how's the car today? It's fine. Did you know that Kale in the Tri-Cities, K-A-L-E, was originally the flip side of coin because they're both slang for money? What? Yeah, kale and coin, they're both slang terms for money. That's why they originally were part of the same communications cluster. And now one of them is located in Portland. The other one is an AM daytimer in Prosser.
I have some call letters in Cleveland to ask Tim Conway about back in his early days.
Really?
Submitted by our friend, television geek.
Okay. This is a gripping program. It's 503-733-2970 today. Let's talk real quickly to Mailman Chris, and then we'll see if we can take him again later to actually do this opening sort of properly. Ladies and gentlemen, and there we go.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Hello, sir, and how are you on this fine Wednesday?
I am fine and dandy.
Are you both fine and dandy?
I am both fine and dandy.
Not one more than the other?
No. Right. I was confronted by many, many, many a listener last night at the Rose and the Raindrop. I was told that I'm not...
Oh, yeah, Clyde's scary crematorium thing last
yes,
night.
Yes, and that's a topic for another day.
Do they all have lots of helpful advice about your kid?
No, but they all said I'm not allowed to waste any more valuable airtime by talking about my family.
Yeah, that's what'll make your kid feel better. Nobody wants to hear it. Shut up.
We want to hear it.
Hey, turkey pot pie. No, you know what? Screw those people. It doesn't matter. I mean,
everyone was really cool.
Look, your family problems are interesting. Let's just call it what it is. You know what I mean? Lots of guys can call them, my wife scratched the car. You know what I mean? My kid is flunking out of phys ed. Doesn't matter. When you call up, it's like it's a pet dying of some kind. It's your child carving some sort of numeric rune onto his arm. Not everybody can brag those things. So, you know what I mean? So you have carte blanche, my friend.
And it's a public service, you know. Like I said, it's positive that you... anyone that doesn't have children might want to stay that way.
We should actually just tape. In fact, I'm going to make a note to myself. We should actually just have you tape a PSA that can function, and we can play it in like at random moments, at slack moments throughout the day. It's just sort of a your public service message / audio prophylactic for the audience. Just to sort of keep people from having children who, you know, people who may, in fact, regret that decision later. How do you feel about that?
That sounds fine with me.
Genius. Are you actually at work today?
I am.
All right, so here's the thing. We got to talk to Tim Conway here in just a second. Now, can we catch up with you a little later on in the hour, and we'll give you the full overview of what we plan to do on this very fine radio program today?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Scotty can just give me a call.
Scotty is armed and prepared with your number?
I believe so, but it's... He can pick me back up, and I'll make sure he's got it.
All right, we'll catch you later on.
Got it.
We'll come back to pick you up later, sexy, or whatever it is, that old commercial. Insert pop culture reference here. It's a wireless microphone thing, and the guy would say, "Hello, good looking. We'll come back to pick you up later." That's before
your
time.
Where does sexy come from?
that's just because mailman Chris is a fine looking man. All right, Chris, we'll check you out later in the hour.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you, sir. All right. 503-733-2970. I'm trying to find my special introduction music. And in doing so, I've managed to inadvertently obliterate a whole lot of things that were in the Card-O-Matic system here. Fantastic. That's the sort of expertise you can expect from the Rick Emerson radio program today and every day. All right. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show a living comedic legend. It's the only thing I can find. And it's got a glitch right in the middle of it. It's the only music I can locate. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program, Tim Conway. Hello, sir.
That sounds more like you're going to say a living thing, and then they play the music, it's a news break, and he just died.
Yeah, well, I mean, phone call's not
almost
over.
Almost had him there. That's good.
Tim Conway, how are you, sir? It's a pleasure to speak with you.
To the best of my knowledge, okay, unless you've heard differently.
Well, again, it's going to be like a long 10 minutes. Anything could happen. Meteorite, who knows?
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about this right now, because this is the big thing. You and Harvey Korman are on the road together right now. Is this like a real farewell tour, or is this thing where like you're going to come and like bilk us out of our cash?
Or... at least 11 times. So Steve and Edie, I think, have the record, and Streisand is pretty close. But I think we'll probably retire about 11 times.
Let me just tell you this, because I know that there's nothing that people love more than to hear me drone on about boring and personal anecdotes from my life that no one can possibly relate to. So, following that sort of premise, let me just say this. When I was growing up, we had one of the very first kind of VCRs that came in the market. They had the old top-loading, like, gas-powered, you know, it was like 5 feet to a side.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we had the VCR, and we had a pay-per-view, when they finally got pay-per-view in my neighborhood. And I got to tell you, when I was about, like, I don't know, like 10, 12, something like that. We got a pay-per-view movie, and the very first pay-per-view film that I ever got, much to my chagrin, was not of the adult variety, but it was a movie called The Long Shot.
Ah, yes.
It was a movie that you and Harvey Korman and a lot of other people in that, the great Jonathan Winters, Ted Wass, a whole bunch of people in that. And maybe a movie that's not very well known at this point, but there was a sequence in this movie, The Long Shot, which I really, everybody should see it, if only for this one scene, where you are attempting to fix a toilet.
Yes.
And, and it really is just kind of like a play on some of the stuff that you perfected on the Carol Burnett Show, Tim Conway, where you are trying to fix the toilet, and of course, it all just goes to hell in a huge flaming handbasket. And I think I very nearly lost control of my bodily functions, and...
Well, if you've ever tried to repair a toilet, it usually happens, doesn't it?
I'm just saying there's no higher praise than to say that my bladder very nearly just did. It went all the hell.
It's good to talk to you because you may be one of the 11 people who saw that movie.
No.
They showed it on a Friday night in Chicago, and the theater called and said, we had 4 people this afternoon, and so we're cleaning up with a dustbuster here. we kind of did it for ourselves. Everything in that movie is absolutely true. That was a story about 3 other guys and myself that used to go to the track together, and everything in that, including the barbecuing in the back of a station wagon with all the doors and windows closed.
Which is genius, incidentally.
Yeah, really bright.
Just not to dwell on the Long Shot but forever and a day, but that movie also, if I'm not incorrect about this, actually has the first appearance of any film music by Ice-T, by rapper Ice-T.
Right. Yes, he came in to do the rap on the front of it. I didn't understand him. He didn't understand me. I said, just rhyme it. I had no idea what rap was, but the guy who hired him was a musician. Of course, he knew, but I said, just... This is a simple movie. It isn't a... We came down, we went down the center. Yeah, I couldn't understand him. So, but he eventually did it. He was a very good sport, and I'm sure that it's high on his recommendation.
No, it's great. So if anybody out there, if the missing piece in your life is the desire to hear Tim Conway and Ice-T rapping about a horse, really, you cannot go any... You can't do any better than
that. It doesn't go any better than that. It really doesn't.
So you did McHale's Navy, obviously, and the Carol Burnett Show, which is, I mean, you know, where you guys pioneered, but it certainly raised to an art form. There's a whole kind of sketch comedy where you just, and you could tell that you guys were just so into each other as performers because you were never able to get through a sketch without just completely losing your composure.
Well, Harvey's a very poor performer, so it wasn't that difficult, you know. Yeah, we had kind of the George Burns, Jack Benny syndrome where every time he looked at me, he went to pieces, but the thing was, I was a writer on the show, so I would write a sketch for us, and then I would write one thing for him, but then I would change all of my lines. So he never knew what I was going to say, nor did the directors, nor did Carol, nor did anybody. And I think that's what kind of made the show unique, in that it really looked like it was a live show, because we taped it in an hour and a half. We didn't wait around all night to try to be funny, and we didn't have a laugh machine at the time, so if you didn't get a laugh, you heard the air conditioner. So it just, you had to do what you had to do at that time, and it was... 11 years of the best time in this business I have ever spent, really was.
Well, and people, that show continues to just have, and Carol herself is a huge influence, and the shadow of that show looms so large. So
yes.
when you and Harvey, were you doing this this tour where it's, farewell number one tour or whatever it is? So are you guys going to be recreating a bunch of the stuff from Carol Burnett Show, or is it new material?
Yeah, we do about six sketches, The Old Man and Tudball and Dorf and all of that, some of the folks that people know, and have a girl who travels with us. She doesn't do anything. She just travels with us. Remember that one? Bang, bang. She does impressions, and she is great, and kind of weave her in and out of the show. And it's really what you would see on a Burnett taping if you came to see it in those days.
We're here with news director Tim Riley as well. I was also a big fan of that. Tim, you have prepared the probing questions for Tim Conway.
Well, actually, all the geeks who go way back, I got one question here. If Mr. Conway would tell us about his early days at WLW in Cleveland and someone he performed with named Ernie Anderson on a television program back then.
Yes, Ernie and I teamed up together, and actually, we were. You could always tell when you're going to be fired from a station because they call you in on Friday about 4:30. They never call you in during the middle of the week because then they figure you're going to stay there two more days and steal things. So they always call you Friday and fire you. So we walked in Friday, and we both said we quit because we knew we were going to be fired. We went to Channel 8 together, and I sold Ernie as a personality and me as a director. He didn't have much of a personality, and I had never directed. And we did this live show in the morning. It was on from 8 to 9:30. We were supposed to show a movie in that time period and back time it so that it ended at 9:30. But I didn't know how to do that. So the first week, we had no endings to the movie. Some people would call up and say, hey, where's the ending? The thing I say, hey, it's Citizen Kane. It's a sled. What do you want? So we started showing endings on Fridays. We were supposed to have guests on the show. The show was so bad, we couldn't get guests. So I was always the guest. And Ernie would say, here's a trumpet player, bullfighter, whatever. And we would come out. And we did that show for about 3 months. And Rosemarie from the Dick Van Dyke Show happened to be coming through town. And she saw it. And she said, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I said, well, actually, in reality, we're fighting for our lives here. So she took a little piece of tape out to Steve Allen, and he took a look at some of the stuff we were doing, and away we went.
Excellent.
I got a job out on Steve Allen show on the when he went to ABC out in Hollywood, and from there it just kind of went up or sideways.
And I don't know, not having any kids, this is a whole slices of the cultural pie that I just miss out on. But you're on, in fact, you and Ernest Borgnine are both on SpongeBob SquarePants, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. I didn't even know I was on that show. You guys know the same thing. You go in to record something, somebody says it's going to be a commercial or it's going to be a public service or whatever, and so I did this thing, and they said, it's SpongeBob. He said, we're about a year away from actually putting this on. Cartoons have to be drawn and everything. So my granddaughter. daughter actually called one day, and she said, I think that's you on SpongeBob. So, yeah, it was.
That's fantastic. And so after this, I mean, are you going to keep doing movies? You got anything else in the works? Or is this, are you and Harvey just going to milk this for as long as you possibly can?
We're going to milk this as long as we can. I have a dental appointment in May, but that's the cleaning. And so I can move that around if something comes up,
fantastic.
You know.
Fantastic. We are looking for weekend board ops here at the station. So, I mean, if you find yourself with time to kill, my friend.
I was just in Canada. I could have stayed there. God, it would have worked out nicely.
Excellent. All right. So you and do you have a, I mean, is there like a timconway.com? Do you get to,
TimConwayLive.com because there's another Tim Conway who has a porno site, which most people think is mine, but
so like
I don't think it is.
Like Dorf on your
so
mom
Tim
or something?
Conway Live, yeah.
All right.
I don't know how to turn the computer on, so I don't know, but people seem to find it.
Genius. I have to ask you this. Somebody, I heard a rumor for a long time that the Dorf character started out, that you were trying to pitch that as a kid's TV show, that it was like it was going to be like some, like George Carlin did the Shining Time Station or whatever. He was going to be like some 2-foot-high guy that taught you how to floss or whatever.
I don't think so. I think we just did it as a funny golfer, the first thing. And when we were shooting it, I was out in the middle of a fairway. They bury me in and put the shoes on my knees. And so I was out there all by myself. The camera was way down the fairway. And a dog came out from the woods and came over to me, evidently thought I was a fire hydrant. Kind of took a leak on me and walked off. And we left it in the tape. It was kind of a compliment on what we were doing, I guess. Some of the reporters did that afterwards, actually.
That's the soul of comedy right there.
Yes, oh, yeah.
If you can get a dog to come over and whiz, or if you can get, like, a guy to kick you in the nads or frisbee to hit you in the face
or
something.
You're on top. No question about it.
I mean, that is your rocket sled to number one, my friend. All right, so Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, the Together Again / Farewell / I Need a New Swimming Pool Tour, whatever it might be. And TimConwayLive.com is the website, and you guys are going to be here Friday, November 17th.
Tickets
available through Ticketmaster. Tim Conway, an icon of comedy, my friend. Thank you for making my childhood a little bit more amusing. And give my best to Harvey Korman as well. And we will be seeing you guys when you come to down.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Conway. Fantastic. There you go. Excellent. Scotty J, thank you for wrangling me. There you go. Tim Conway. Excellent. All right. Good times, my friends. All right. Tim Conway. You can get people have been asked why they can get your tickets at the Ticketmaster.com or at the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office. Hey, see, I always hate to say things like this when you're on the phone with a guest, but now I can check that off the list. Because you know what I mean? It's like Rickles. Next time Rickles comes around to be in a box.
He's listening to you on hold.
No, he's gone.
No, you look, didn't you?
I checked. No, I mean, you can't say, look, I'm glad we were able to wrangle you while you're alive, Tim.
He's not that old.
No, he's a funny guy, man.
Hey, he's only 73.
He's younger than Don Rickles.
That doesn't really...
So that's not incredibly difficult. So he's got several farewell tours.
I got to tell you, man. Oh, well, we'll talk about it more. We come back, we got Lisa Goddard, the triumphant return of Lisa Goddard, and we'll start the show over. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Our own law here, our own rules. It's a long road with no turning back.
I don't have a fork.
It's his command now, his ship. He's in charge, he's the man, he's top dog, the big cheese, numero uno. All right, 503-733-2970. Well, if they were truly P1, Scotty, they'd know, wouldn't they? 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. If you'd like to engage with us electronically in some fashion for whatever reason, it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Back from an exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, making her triumphant return, Lisa Goddard from the Hill. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. How are you?
Hello, I'm great.
Hi, how was Ohio?
Oh, Ohio's crazy.
All right, now are you, I'm not asking a personal question. Now, is Ohio, is that where you're from? I can never remember.
No, you know what, I'm from here. I'm from the nation's capital metropolitan area, but I was in Ohio working on election stuff, and I also covered some races in Pennsylvania and Connecticut.
So you weren't just hanging out there just to cut loose because it's a wild and crazy place.
Although, you know, Ohio State, if you're a football fan, it's a good place to be.
So you were, Lisa Gutter kicking up her heels in Ohio. Note to self. All right. Well, you know, here's the thing about this is that you must love days like this where you don't even have to, you don't have to prepare anything. You don't have to worry. You walk on in, and John Kerry has just gone crazy and said something. I mean, it really is just the easiest time to be you. So, John Kerry, for those who did not, God, do I even have the sound from yesterday? I probably don't even need to play it because everybody heard it. John Kerry, for those who did not hear this, if you were locked inside a small cage yesterday and did not hear the soundbite 1,000 times, he was speaking. Where was he speaking when he said this thing about the military, and what was his exact quote?
He was at a fundraiser event, and what he said was, I don't think I have the exact wording here, but
just
he
make
said
stuff
something
up.
To the effect of, if you don't get a good education, if you don't study, if you're not intellectually challenging yourself, or he says if you do intellectually challenge yourself, you can do well in this country, but if you don't, you get stuck in Iraq.
Bam! All right, now.
So his staff is saying what he was supposed to say was, you get us stuck in Iraq. So then referring to President Bush.
Right.
But he apparently at least dropped one word, us, and instead of insulting the president, who he's had such a long-running battle with, his remark could be interpreted to apply to everyone serving in the American Armed Forces in Iraq.
Clearly what he meant to say was, I'm John Kerry and no longer relevant, and I'm going to go home and draw down the blinds and not embarrass the Democratic Party any further. Please forgive me for existing.
I've decided to make everyone in politics mad at me, and I'm doing it now.
Seriously, I mean, does he have some subliminal desire, some subconscious desire to losing in 2004 wasn't enough. He wants to make sure that he can now never win anything ever again, ever.
You know, people aren't saying this yet, but I really think that he's done now. I think that he could remain as a senator, certainly, from Massachusetts, but he really was putting his hand out there, hoping someone else would grab it on the other side and make him yet again a candidate for president. And I think now he really has made everyone angry. Democrats are furious with him on the Hill. Say, look, we had so much going for us. Why did you have to make a boneheaded remark and you know, put yourself out there? And why couldn't, some of them saying privately, why couldn't you just apologize and say, I made a mistake? And that's just what the White House is saying. You know, just apologize. That's what Tony Snow is saying. Admit you made a mistake. Well, behind the scenes, Democrats are sort of saying the same thing because they just don't want this to stay out there. They don't want the White House to have this opportunity to keep going after Kerry. You know, but Kerry's standing his ground. He's saying, look, I messed up, but I'm not going to pretend that I hate the troops or that I ever meant to imply that. And I think the Republicans are fear-mongering. There's another word for your election vocabulary.
Yeah.
So Kerry's not backing down, but because of that, a lot of Democrats saying, look, John Kerry thinks it's all about himself, and we just need him to back off right now.
Well, now he can just go drinking with Ted Kennedy now. He doesn't need that. That's the great thing about it. He can be like Al Gore. He can just sort of shed this illusion that he was ever going to win anything, and he can just sort of let his hair down.
That's right, but can't go drinking so much with Patrick Kennedy.
No, but apparently Patrick Kennedy, if you need anything and it comes in a small bottle, I think he can probably take care of you there. Here's the thing about John Kerry's comments is that, first of all, there's two roads you can go down here. One is that you believe his contention, that because this is what Neil Armstrong claimed for years, that he was, because everybody's pointed out that one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, that it's grammatically incorrect. And Neil Armstrong has just screamed for years that he said it correctly, but that the other words were just mysteriously lost in the cosmos somewhere, which seems like what the legal system would call a transparent falsehood.
Right.
It seems likely that that's what Kerry's doing. And I'm not saying that he was originally intending to insult the troops in any sort of a fashion, but it does seem like maybe he didn't have this proofread by a linguist. And when it became very clear that it came off that way, that he's sort of retconning, he's just going back and he's trying to make it sound like, no, what I meant to say was that crap. But the other sort of road to go down is that, I mean, here's the thing that, this is a longer conversation probably we can get into. The other thing is that, I mean, it has been a frequent contention of many people, a lot of them more vocally on the left than on the right, but it has been a frequent contention of many folks that the military does often attract people who maybe have diminished options or a fewer number of avenues in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But what John Kerry seems to me, and you think that he would get this as a senator, he fails to grasp the real politic of the situation, which is there's just stuff you can't say a week before an election. You know, so
yeah, or a comment like that, you really can't say any time in the last 4 or 5 years with the situation in Iraq without really angering a lot of people. But I think especially the week before the election is a terrible time to really say something like that that can be, from his perspective, misunderstood, or that the, you know, however you want to look at it. Yeah, I think you're right, and I think you're right about both paths. I think that John Kerry himself being in the military, he certainly knows who is in the military and who's not. And there is a question of, did he read this before he said it? I mean, he was sort of speaking, you know, a lot of times they get these speaker's notes and they're not reading verbatim from a sheet of paper. So was he just scanning over it and sort of going off what he had in his mind that it said? Did he actually go through it and understand what his aides had written for him to say? It certainly doesn't feel like it.
So can we expect this quote of John Kerry's to just show up in any sort of Republican advertising over the next week?
Oh, yeah, the ads are coming out already. I've seen them. There's television spots the Republicans are launching. I think they are launching them today. They already have them prepared, in which they list, they have a number of quotes by other people, including John McCain, that talk about the troops, talk about how wonderful the troops are. And then after you see those written quotes praising the troops, then they go straight to John Kerry's video, and they really don't say very much more.
Good God Almighty.
They let that speak for itself.
Oh, man, you know, I'm in the wrong career. I really ought to just be like a political smear master. Really, the next go-around in this life, that's what I'm going to come back as.
You know, that frightens me, but I do think that you might have a talent.
I'll never be out of work, sister. hey, and just to brighten your day really quickly, and I wish that I had the second half of this audio, and regrettably, I do not. But if you'd like to hear this, and I know you would, I have here, let me find this. Sarah, is my computer turned up over there? I'm now going to play you the official jingle from the Joe Lieberman campaign.
Oh, great. Let me hear it.
I don't know if you've heard this. This is not a joke. This is not a wacky radio gag. This is from his website. This is the Joe Lieberman jingle. And yesterday we had this audio, and I think I've lost it. If I find it, I'll play it for you the next time we talk, of Joe Lieberman attempting to sing along with his own jingle and not knowing the words, which is really genius on a whole other level. But here's this is the Joe Lieberman campaign jingle. From his website.
When you walk into that voting booth, looking for the real truth, well, people, this year you will find you're looking for the bottom line. Joe Lieberman has been the one to say it straight and get it done. He's there for us once again. Now Connecticut's there for Lieberman. Look past the parties and the names. There's no room for political games. Joe stood up for us every time. It's time to vote the bottom line.
This year, Joe Lieberman may be a little harder to find in the voting booth because he's running independently in the Connecticut for Lieberman Party. You'll find his name near the bottom of column 2 on the ballot. So take your time, look carefully, and vote for Joe Lieberman.
When you walk into that voting booth, looking for the real truth, vote your heart and vote your mind. You'll find Joe on the bottom line.
I'm Joe Lieberman. I'm running for Senate, and I approve this message.
There you go. So, there you go.
Am I the only one that missed the whole banjo bluegrass section of Connecticut?
No, and I love the idea when they say that because he's running independent, you may find him down below on the bottom on the third page at a fold-out section that is crudely stapled to the back and written in crayon. It really does make it sound like he's just going to be standing outside with a homemade sign, you know, handing you ballots that he's just made in his basement out of construction paper. So there you go. Just put
I have something for you, too.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard this. I thought about this. Last week, President Bush was campaigning in Des Moines for this congressional candidate.
Right.
Dave, did you hear this?
I don't know. Does it
The candidate's name, Dave Lamberti, but the president kept referring to him in this very large public event with the candidate as Jeff.
Fantastic.
I would appreciate that. His name, Dave, but the president saying, oh, Jeff and I believe this together.
Dave's not here, man. All right. Genius.
Right?
Lisa Goddard, good to have you back. Bob Costantini, he does his very best to fill your, I was going to say fill your heels, but that just sounds weird. Fill your shoes. But it's great to have you back, Lisa. Yeah. We will talk to you very soon.
Okay.
There you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent to the stars from the Hill. There you go. Fantastic. All right. Listen to that. Back in our old groove. Didn't miss a step. It's like she never left. I didn't save. I'm retarded, so I did not save the Lieberman.
You didn't save anything from yesterday?
When you say anything, what do you mean?
Like John Kerry or Joe Lieberman.
That John Kerry thing's not going to be difficult to find. That's going to be lurking on the internet for quite some time. So that'll be out there. The one thing I meant to save, and I didn't because it was just such a hectic day yesterday, I meant to save Lieberman trying to sing along with his own jingle, and I didn't. All I have is... That's all I have from yesterday. The best part, and I'm not going to belabor the point, the best part of these scissors yesterday is if you listen really carefully, if you turn this way up, you can hear the guy breathing in the background.
Oh, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's not me breathing. That's like some Michael Myers breathing in the... Which is weird because it implies that the scissor use is somehow strenuous or difficult. We have to start the show. Tim Riley, if you would join us in the studio here, we'll talk to Kristen from accounting for like 30 seconds here, and then we'll restart today's program with Mailman Chris as well. Ladies and gentlemen, for now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Kristen from accounting. Hello, how are you on this Wednesday?
Oh, it's beachy.
Yes.
Yeah, and I just wanted to give you my 30-second kudos for the Tim Conway interview. That was fantastic.
Oh, great, with that funny guy, too. He's one of those guys who's like talking to Ted Nugent, where I didn't even really need to do anything. Just Tim Conway, go!
He's just funny as all get. You just look at him, and you just... I can see why Harvey Korman had such a hard time.
He's a funny guy, and I don't mean this in a bad way. He's a I don't mean he's a funny looking guy, but he's a guy whose facial expressions and just general demeanor are hilarious.
Well, it's almost like that Bob Newhart kind of the blank stare.
Oh man, Bob Newhart. That's another guy.
Yeah.
That's another guy. He's on my list.
It's all in the timing.
And that's not the death list, by the way. There's two very distinct lists. There's lists of people that we're going to kill, and then there's lists of people we're going to interview. Then there's a smaller list of people I'm going to interview and then kill. But that's, you know, how many people could really be on that? No. Bob Newhart is on the interview list, though.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, and I just wanted to remind you, I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, because, of course, I watched the Carol Burnett Show when I was a youngin', but my favorite, the thing that still makes me laugh whenever I think about it is that they did a takeoff on Jaws.
Right.
With Harvey Korman doing what's his name? The boat captain guy.
Well, like the Richard Dreyfuss. Oh, no, Quint.
Quint.
Yeah, the Quint role.
That was just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And Harvey Korman is known, as it was same as the last time we talked about it, is known to a lot of guys of my generation as Hedley Lamarr from Blazing Saddles. Which is, I mean, and he's another guy. And Harvey Korman, and we'll talk more about this as we get closer to the event on the 17th, but man, Harvey Korman is one of those guys who, he's just got that stern, really authoritarian. Harvey Korman is sort of like an American John Cleese.
Yeah.
He's the very stern, authoritarian demeanor to his delivery, so.
Well, and even
genius.
Leslie Nielsen, to a certain extent, used to have that.
Leslie Nielsen. That's another boy. Put him on the list, too.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Kristen from accounting. Thank you, sister. You going to be at Lycus?
Yeah. Sarah is making me.
I begged her.
What do you mean making you go?
Rick, it's very different going to a Lycus event as a woman than it is
as
a man.
But not for Kristen. Kristen is a Lycus girl in many ways.
Well, she used to be a Lycus girl. Not so much anymore, right?
Not so much. Well, because I'm really out of his demographic. And, of course, as I've grown older, I'm like, what's wrong with 40-year-old women,
No one would ever guess that you were 40.
No, it's true, but I hide it well.
Fantastic.
But, yes, I will be there.
Excellent. There you go, Kristen from accounting, ladies and gentlemen.
Later.
Thank you. All right. It's, Kristen will be at Lycus, which is coming up 2 days from today. Tomorrow he'll be with us in the 2 o'clock hour, sitting mere inches away from Sarah Dillon.
So do you think he's going to be himself off the air, or do you think he's going to be full-on...
He's the coolest guy. You've met him. I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, do you think he's going to be the off-the-air guy when we have him on the show, or do you think he's going
to
be...
I'm trying.
Hey, you're Porky.
I'm trying to...
Let's go to the phone.
I'm trying to remember the last time we had him on.
So that's the only thing I'm nervous about.
Totally...
He's a really nice guy up there, but I have to say,
having him on our show is different, I think. Well, because first of all, it's not like when we have him on our show, we're suddenly going to line up a bunch of people to come on and go, Tom, I think you are a hard human being. You know, it's not going to be like his show where people are just lined up to screech at him, which is, what he does on his show, which he invites. I'm trying to remember the last time I had him on, though, which is a couple years ago. I'm trying to remember what we even talked about, though. So, anyway, but that is tomorrow. He'll be on with us, I don't know, about 24 hours from now. Tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour, and then Friday, his show live from Barracuda.
I am pretty excited.
You can talk to him about wine. I understand he's a wine connoisseur.
He does that show, The Tasting Room, Saturdays 11 to 1.
Going to drink some Two Buck Chuck tonight.
Call and get his thoughts on that.
Maybe I'll bring him a bottle.
What kind of boxed beverage would you... is this, let's see, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Is this Mailman Chris?
It is.
Fantastic.
Post.
All right, there we go. And we're done. All right, are we ready to begin the program?
Yes.
All right, we're going to start the show. All right.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Minutes and 10 seconds after the hour of 11 and it's the month of November in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. If you'd like to call us today, you can do it. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right. Let us, without any further ado... All right. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing fine and dandy.
You'd like to know, by the way, we've got a couple emails that directed your way. One of them simply says, can you please have Chris to be providing more of his cutting-edge humor about family life? Cutting edge humor.
That is not funny.
It's hilarious. What are you talking about?
He's really going. He's going through something.
I understand that. I'm just saying.
So what does he carve on himself?
I said life gives you knives, make lemonade.
What does he write?
Oh, there's a couple of names of girls, not like demons or anything like that, but just girls' names, or I think he actually wrote AC/DC.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. We had talked yesterday about your son who was...
Which, by the way, that's a little disheartening to me that listeners come up and say that that's a waste of radio time.
No. Let me rephrase.
Screw them.
it was more, you know... Yeah, thanks. That was a real downer, you know.
Oh, well, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a real downer until we just callously began to make fun of it. At that point, it all turned around for us. Because we had talked about it a couple weeks ago. We'd had you on. I'm like, so, how was your day?
My cat is dead.
And then, like, yesterday, so, Chris, how's your day?
Well, my son cuts on himself with a knife.
And so, it literally AC/DC in his arm?
I think so.
Well, I mean, you know, if you got to carve the name of band in there, I mean, it's, this is...
I was looking for, like, the Zozos or something, but no.
Yeah, that's still a... it's just a whole weird situation. So, I mean, are these girls that he's, dated or dating, or how old is he? I mean,
He's 12.
Oh, he's never leaving the dating age yet, though.
No, not as far as I would expect.
Is this sort of the goth version of writing somebody's name on your peachy folder?
I think so.
It's just sort of like, instead of writing it on, like, on a Trapper Keeper, you're like, I'm going to write it on my sternum. You know, write it. Somebody sent me, okay, I shouldn't say this.
Marky Mark style.
Somebody, why would you say that? Somebody.
There's that horrible movie called Fear.
Love that movie with Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. That was actually filmed in the Puget Sound.
And he carves her name in his chest.
Somebody sent me, actually...
And then he traps them in the house. That movie scared me.
After we had this discussion with you yesterday about your son and the carving and the hey, somebody actually sent me a link, and it was like, hey, download this file. It's hot chicks. And, you know... And so, of course, without checking, without installing my virus software, without anything, all right! And so I immediately downloaded it, and it was the weirdest thing. It was like a zip file that a guy had created for me, or that I suspect he already had on his computer that he just tossed my way. Like 1,000 pictures of hot girls, but... all of them with things carved in their flesh.
Oh.
So a bunch of hot girls, like, but all wearing glasses. Or a bunch of hot girls, but they're all smoking. This one was a bunch of hot girls, but they've all got names, and it's all the names of boys. It's like Josh forever, you know, and like...
Eva.
Yeah. Like, what? I don't even want to talk about it, because it's going to make me sound like a perv. But I'm just saying, it's... We should move on from this conversation. Your son's not listening to the radio right now, is he?
No. He's home today again.
Heavily sedated.
Work.
Unable to regain consciousness.
Does he know you come on this show?
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's not listening.
Yeah, that's good.
No.
How could this end badly?
I've made absolute positivity. He's not listening today. I can't say.
Gagging him.
Did you steal all of his radios?
In a fruit cellar.
Sort of. I've removed the one. I have one really good radio in my house that picks up the signal, and it takes D batteries.
Well,
there are no D batteries in my house.
I wouldn't worry about it. He probably gets a private secret radio signal sent right into his head from somebody. That would just be my speculation at this point. Moving on.
Let's not heckle the child.
Hey, can't hear me. I'm. You know what it is? This is
children. My mom thought she hid the key to the liquor cabinet. I found it. Kids can find anything.
We should do a whole terrifying section for parents about things that your kids do.
Seriously,
that you don't
it was
know
in
about.
Her. Yeah, it was in her jewelry box underneath the big pile of her earrings. I found that.
Well, you
when you're desperate.
I'm getting ready to go, but I'm expecting something for Red Cross. Do you know what time you come around there?
I think there's a ruckus.
Irby.
I don't.
You don't do this?
No. I've done these streets already.
Yeah.
So you haven't been on that?
I was waiting for my copy of Carb Lovers Weekly. I'm actually just going to hear the sound of a gun cocking.
Yeah, that was exciting postal work as it happened.
It sounded gripping. I was just going to say to the Likas, we were talking about Likas, actually. Likas has done those whole shows where he did one actually just, I don't know, like a month, 2 months ago, something like that, where he was like, he wanted listeners only under the age of, I think, 13. And it was like, if you are under the age of 13, call me and tell me what you do that your parents don't know about. And it was terrifying. I don't even have kids. And it was a lot of like, I've got 15 pounds of marijuana under my bed and a severed head that I keep in the attic that I look at sometimes and talk to in a woman's voice. You know, it was just a whole lot of weird. So, and it wasn't, for me, it wasn't the liquor cabinet. See, because I wouldn't, the teenager was not a drinker. But for Sarah, it was, where was the key to the liquor cabinet?
It was in my mom's jewelry box. I believe it still is.
How did you find it?
Dude, when you're young and rebellious and, yeah, I found it. I've always been good at finding things, and, yeah, I found it was in her,
Something that all your boyfriends have learned subsequent to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's Rebecca Lord?
By the way, that's how Ryan Felipe got caught cheating on Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, he's such an idiot. He
left his BlackBerry.
Yeah,
what an idiot.
Messages on his I cannot wait to feel your supple thighs, or whatever it is. You know, and it's a whole lot of Reese, like, what are you doing? I did nothing.
I'm just going to leave it open on the bathroom counter.
Just going to leave it running here where you can come in and see, like, the photos I've taken of some chick's crotch. No, for me, though, it was I don't mean to creep anybody out, but I told you that my dad was, like, both smart and stupid at the same time, where he had a bunch of guns, and he locked them up in a gun cabinet, which was, like, fireproof and very thick, locked them up in a lockable gun cabinet, you know, so they were locked, and then, like, left the key right on his dresser, like, labeled, gun key. So, sort of the good news, bad news there. And I never screwed around with him because he instilled a big fear of guns in me when I was a kid, but they were right there, and any of my friends came over, could have just rifled through, gone home with a handful of pistols. So, rifled through. What are we going to do today? We're going to talk to Tim Conway. Bam! The Rick Emerson Show is going to tell you how to vote, stripping away the last vestiges of free thought that you might have. We have the worst story ever.
Oh.
Now, last week...
Could it be worse than the dead dog?
Wait and find out, Sarah Dillon. Wait and find out. Our worst story ever is also our Hick Watch. Lisa Goddard, no cow talk. And let's see, Dennis Pitzenberger is going to come on, and he's going to finish that story about the bar brawl. We'll do that real quickly later on, like the 1 o'clock hour. He was apparently...
Will there be more gifts in bags?
Yes.
Maybe.
We would like more gifts.
Yes. Sarah's big bag of porn is still in my office, by the way.
I'm on my bike. I can't. The big bag of porn doesn't fit in my bike basket.
It's just, the thing is, I had a bunch of porn in my office already.
I guess I could take it home piece by piece.
Yes, you could.
Take public transportation.
But you could take it home piece by piece, but how? Where would you transport it?
In my basket.
That's what I was waiting for right there. Was it yesterday you were calling it a microwave? Is this going in my microwave?
You're just jealous because you didn't get one.
Shut up about what I'm jealous about. And Tim, what other watches have we today?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you asked. We have sound from Imus. Apparently he said something. We have a Hip
Help
Watch.
Help me! I Hip can't Watch. Breathe!
Geek Watch.
Brains.
Democracy on the March. And Jackson Watch.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, we'll get to some of those. All right, there you go, sir.
One or two.
All right, so I think we'll get Tim Conway and Lisa Goddard.
Yes, we will.
How the guide on how to vote, a worst story ever, which will also be the Geek Watch. I'm sorry, did you say no cow talk?
I'm just saying that that's a negative. We will not be doing any cow talk today, to the best of my knowledge.
Oh, damn. Dennis.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about no cows.
We've got Hick Watch, Democracy on the March, and Jackson Watch.
Yes, sir. Right. There you go. Where am I at, push-up watch?
47 going in today. Now, hey, tomorrow, do you want me to temporarily decrease the number just so that you sound better in front of Lycus?
Thank you. I would appreciate that. For tomorrow, can we agree that I owe 5 push-ups?
I'll take it down like 30.
All right, Sarah Dillon, if you object,
like,
speak up now.
Yeah, we'll say it's like 15.
Okay,
I object.
No, it's too late. No,
it's only for tomorrow.
Yeah, no, but that's something.
I'm going to make you do some in front of him.
You can't make me do like 50 in front of him.
I'm going to give you like 20.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just completely emasculate me in front of Tom Lycus.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And a woman was making him do push-ups. Great, thank you. That'll be fun.
And then we can talk a lot about our dog.
Let's do that.
We can compare pictures.
Okay.
I can see if I can have my kid do something really wacky so I can talk to you guys about it, too.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it would be all that difficult.
No, not at all.
All right. Hey, by the way, just a final side note here before we end this. I remember what I was going to ask. I was going to ask something about your kid's MySpace page, but whatever. So, because I got to tell you, and I wanted me to go on and on about this, but because...
Chris, will you send me his URL? I can't find it.
I've totally got it. It's totally...
And he's on your list, Sarah.
And his screen name is... I don't know what it is now, but his screen name for a while was like, My Love is Like a Bleeding Rose, you know?
Oh, that guy!
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Me, and for a long time, it was Me and My Knife.
My soul is 1,000 shades of black. Never mind. We'll talk about it later. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, like I said, you know, we'll talk, you know, Clyde will be on Monday. I'm sure he'll tell you all.
Was it scary?
It was very freaky.
Oh, the Rose and Randolph. You know, he's going to give us a whole blow-by-blow on Monday.
And also, just as a side note, I don't know if anyone else was out there when the families were walking around trick-or-treating. The parents, get out of your damn car.
Oh, yeah, no, they were totally where they're idling there. Come on, faster!
The kids are walking up the door, and the parents are just driving door to door. And I'm like, God, it's Southeast, but still, get your fat ass out of your car and walk with the kids.
See,
Scotty J walks with his kids.
Show a little bit of bitterness.
End up with a cutting in their bedroom.
Okay, and on that note, bada bing. All right, well, I'll check with you later on, Chris.
Talk to you soon.
There you go, there's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Scotty J, it was so cute to talk to him.
Did Scotty go trick-or-treat? We're
Scotty
still
Jake
behind.
Scotty took his kids trick-or-treating, and he would stand at the end of the driveway and shine the flashlight so they could see how to walk to the door.
Aww.
How cute is that?
His kids are like 13 and 20, aren't they? If your kid can't walk at the age of 15 or whatever, you...
Why do you have to ruin a beautiful moment?
A lot of radon in that house. We put Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson show.